And we are back once again, installment number 123. We're ticking them right off show after show after show after show. That's right. It is the Parish of the Patriots coming your way once again. That means it's Tuesday. Hopefully you had a good weekend. Hopefully everything's going smoothly for you as you work through your work week. This show is supported by the voluntary financial support of you, the listeners. If you want to be a part of that, you can find that information at the bottom of the description page. We got snail mail. We got Bitcoin. We got Monero. If you have another weirdo cryptocurrency, there's an email down there. Drop me an email address. I'll do my best to get you. Because let's be honest, there's like 6 quadrillion different currencies. So drop me an email. I'll do my best to get you an address for that. And of course, don't be hesitant to drop me a note. Because that's right, we like the listener supporter mailbag. It's what we always start right off with every week. Speaking of which, let's get right on in. So this show, we've got a lot to cover, as usual. We will, of course, have our Christian-specific segment, the sermon, if you would, later on in the show. Look forward to it. Let's hit the mailbag. Mr. T, GPD, thanks for all your wisdom. Well, I appreciate it, and I just think of it as truth. See, that's the great thing about working towards the truth. Anybody, if you work towards the truth, especially now that we live in the cesspit of lies, Here in this world, now that we live in the cesspit of lies, all you got to do is speak the truth, and you too can sound really, really wise. People will be like blown away, like, man, you're a really wise guy. But all you have to do is head for the truth. GPD, you never cease to amaze me. Glad a Christian is going all out telling the truth. Great work as usual, Triangle Whip. I'm humbled by your kind words. It's just, it is just about going toward the truth. And we're going to kind of get into a little bit of that in our Christian specific segment about what it means, these times that we live in, what we should be doing and understanding, fulfilling our role in that. So you might look forward to that. Grandpa Dan, I recall a movie I saw long ago as a kid. My parents loved the Mom Pa Kettle movies. So I saw several of them. In one, there is a scene where the Kettle family's in church. And when the usher passes the plate to Paul, and he then passes it to the next, each kettle appears to drop something in the plate, and we hear an audible clink each time. However, when the plate reaches the usher, he's surprised that it's empty. We, the viewers of the movie, assume each family member had a pebble in his hand to give the illusion of contributing, although they wanted to receive the pastor's message of the day. In other words, they wanted a freebie. Well, I too enjoy being a member of the congregation of the Parish of the Patriots, but unlike the Kettles, I'm willing to do my part. Regards, Eric. You know, it's called thumping the plate. I remember that. You know, the pass the plate around, see, you hold your hand like an old clenched fist, and then you put your hand like you're dropping something in there, but you actually just thump it. You thump it with your finger. Clink. Thumping the plate. Don't ask me how I know that. But I do. And finally, Gramps, thanks for all you do, and especially for your recent show about coming to terms with your past. You are right. Your past cannot be put in a box and stored. It is in your mind. Live in God's grace and move forward. Jay from Canada. And that show, I think, is really important, understanding your past. And I keep bringing it up, but I really think it's important to get people untied, because people are so chained down from their past. And even with the future, you get anxious and tumultuous over things that aren't real, because it hasn't happened yet when it comes to the future, or it's already happened and it's only existing in your mind. It's not there anymore. The past is gone. It's burnt up. It's very important. So I am glad. Of course, I do all these shows. I always finish every show with the hope that somebody got something out of it. You know, even if it's just one person, if everybody else listens, like, well, that show was total shit, but one person's like, wow, that one thing, that 5 minutes of that show changed my whole perspective and has made my life easier, then I think it's all worth it. Really, it sounds kind of cliche to say it that way, but that really is the way I approach it. So it is always good to know that y'all are getting something out of it. So that wraps up the listener supporter mailbag. I always enjoy that part. So thank you once again. And it is always good to hear from you. The interaction on the show is like none other. So yeah, now we head off into, I guess you'd say, the freestyle portion of the show. We just discuss whatever the hell comes to mind. Of course, we had the Biden administration just wrapping up their world tour with the G7 summit. There's him. I think one of the most ridiculous, embarrassing things was that whole spectacle of him and like Boris Johnson out there smiling like a couple morons bumping elbows. What? This is supposed to be a serious thing. And you have these two buffoons up there just smiling and dancing around bumping the elbows because, you know, they want to give you the message about the deadly virus or something. The Biden administration having a meeting with Putin. Boy, oh, Putin. There's no doubt. Putin sitting there at the little brief thing. They had him sit down together for photo ops. And it's like Putin is sitting there looking like, why am I having to sit here? And it just looks bored. It's like, why am I here? Look at this idiot over here. Here's Biden staring at his note card so he doesn't get lost. And Biden going around actually openly saying, I have to call on the people on the list to ask the questions. It's just getting, it is getting more and more absurd. But the West is getting more and more absurd. We're supposed to, and it would just be something we could laugh at in a way. Of course, you can find a certain amount of humor in societal collapse, but the society is becoming so corrupted. That is something, I guess, to more or less look forward to the charade coming to an end. But it is serious because at the same time that they're collapsing, the societies in the West here in the United States, it's all collapsing. They're at the same time building up these hostilities with Russia and China. And that part is a really serious matter. And I think of the European countries and like Japan, that, you know, in a lot of ways, they're kind of occupied countries. But I think of the old biblical prophecies in the Old Testament when you know, they were warned when the impending disaster was coming. And they were warned about, you know, you're putting your faith in Egypt, in Egypt's chariots to provide. But they're not going to come. They're not going to be able to defend you with what's coming. And I think that's where places like Japan and Western Europe are going to be sitting. If they're idiotic enough to actually get into a war, and I think it's quite possible. If they're putting their hope in the U.S., they're going to be sorely disappointed. This idea of them bungling or intentionally, I don't know. I mean, on one hand, you want to think they're not that stupid, but maybe they are, because it's like hubris and pride. Arrogance drives people to madness, as does greed. This whole global reset thing, it's not something new. This is a long-term project, the Great Reset. This is a long-term but now they're getting greedy. Now they really, 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 really want to push it over the finish line. So they're just going all in. So the idea, because you can sit here and look at it logically and say they can't win. I mean, really, they can't win a war with Russia and China. They can't hardly, you know, they can't win a war against little desert countries, really. I mean, they surrendered. Basically had to finally admit defeat to surrender in Afghanistan. They're trying to drag it out and paint it up to look like something else, but they basically had to admit defeat there. But they're going to win a big war with China, and that's the mindset. You know, you get these people and it's like, well, that's just because them people don't fight fair. I can picture these idiotic generals being like, you know, if we get a war with China and Russia, then finally they'll line up in a row and we can use our whiz-bang weaponry and come in and show them. And you know, it's crazy. And people are under this illusion that the U.S. military is this mighty force. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's nothing. But they have this idea that because of technological advances, like we know all of the technology these other countries have. The thing that made the U.S. formidable in the past, generations ago, was the manufacturing capability. For instance, in World War II, but both the Japanese and the Germans had superior aircraft. I mean, they did. They had superior aircraft. Now, towards the end of the war, you know, things had improved in the U.S. aircraft front. But for the first half of the war, the Japanese and German aircraft were far superior. But what gave the U.S. an advantage is our shitty aircraft were getting shot down, say, 2-1, but we could build 4-1. So even though, you know, we could build them and send, I guess the way I want to put it is we could build them faster than they could knock them out of the sky. Our manufacturing capability is what made the U.S. a formidable adversary in those days. But we don't build anything now. We don't even know how. And that's the thing. You sit there, people talk about, you know, oh, well, we could gin up here. We could bring these factories back. And not really. But even if you did that, where's the human capital? Back then, say in World War II, you had people that went into these factories, but you know, they had done, say, a machinist job, but they had done that for generations. They had learned that. There were other people there that were machinists that could teach apprentices, and they came up and became machinists, and they learned how to do these things. We've lost the human capital, and how do you get that back? All because of greed. All because they shipped all of this manufacturing capability overseas, primarily to China. And now they want to bitch and moan like it's China's fault, like they stole those jobs from us. I'm old enough. I remember our own middle management politicians saying, we're going to ship these jobs overseas and it's going to be great. We're going to get rid of the manufacturing jobs. You're all going to get high-paying computer jobs. They mentioned that even with the high-paying computer jobs, they were going to import people from places like India to take those away from you as well. Because corporate profits. Wall Street went from being raising capital to expand production to just raising stock prices for the sake of raising stock prices. You look at the absurd values, overvaluation of these companies' stocks. It has nothing to do with their production output. It's just raising the stock price just because. It's just people buying and gambling that the stock price is going to go up to infinity. But the point here is there is no human capital. There is no people that know how. Even if you rebuilt the factories, let's say you actually had people running this shit show who said, okay, we're going to kick off this war with Russia and China. We better get some factories online. We got to really gin this thing up. And let's say they did that. Who's going to staff them? Who knows how to do any of it? As soon as your technological whiz-bang starts getting blown out of the sky, it doesn't even matter if it's by inferior products. Because again, in World War II, for most of World War II, the U.S. products were inferior to the German and Japanese products. It's all about numbers. The U.S. isn't capable of fixing them, of parts, of replacing. How long does it take them to build one whiz-bang stealth fighter? Forever! Takes. They will lose. They will absolutely lose. Because, see, Russia and China, their military isn't geared for offense. It isn't geared to go around the world and kick over anthills. They're primarily built, geared, designed around defense. And you think, well, yeah, well, what are they going to do with that? But you see, the thing is, somebody that's really entrenched in defense is the hardest enemy to overcome. In their sphere of influence, in their range that they have set up in their barricades, as it were, in their strike zone, they're deadly. And they can wipe out anything basically that goes in that kill zone. And of course, because we live in our quote unquote, our democracy and our values world, we won't get a say on any of that. It's one of the things I find so disgusting. They always are going on about our democracy. You saw this puking display all over during this G7 thing. Lots of talk about our democracy and our values. They get these marketing slogans. It's so obvious. They sit here and they run these marketing slogans and they settle on a marketing slogan. It's a jingle. When you see one of these politicians, we see the blabbering Joe Biden standing up there mouthing off about our democracy and our values. He's just regurgitating the company jingle. Like a Coke and a smile. Remember that? I want to give the world a Coke. It's just the company jingle. Our democracy. It doesn't mean anything. It's just supposed to get stuck in your head. That's why they keep repeating it over and over and over and over again. One of the most absurd things I saw is they were doing a photo, you know, the photo op with Putin and Biden there. And they were saying a few things, but we couldn't hear what they were saying because it was just showing it while these media blabberers were talking. And these media people are blabbering, telling us what to think. They won't let us just hear what's said. They're just blabbering, telling us what to think. And I think it was Laura O'Donnell on CBS, but if not, it was some other idiot. And they were making the point that Putin has been in power for however so many years. And she says, make no mistake, he's a dictator. As if they don't have elections. No, they have elections. He's just real popular. It's like, oh, you have a leader who's really popular and has done a really good job. What do we need to do? Fire his ass and let's put some moron in there because that's our democracy and it's our values. The absurdity just never ends. And of course, the part of our democracy is we don't get a say in any of it. They're not going to come and say, we're going to put this to a vote to the people. We're going to go ahead and bungle off into a war with Russia and China. Let's have a vote on that. You're not going to get a say in it. You're going to get a false flag. You're going to get war propaganda. You're going to get lies stacked upon lies to justify it. But you're not going to get a say in it. You're just going to get told. Which kind of brings me to something I thought we would discuss today. Because what does that mean for you? Because, I mean, we have to be honest. We don't get a say in it. It's not like they're going to have a campaign. Do you want the war or are you against the war? And this November, we'll have a vote on the war and the people get to decide. If we did have a vote, they'd fake it anyway. But nonetheless, we don't even get that. We don't even get the charade of a vote. So since we don't get a say in it, we're kind of just along for the ride. You have to think, what does this mean for me? Well, something I think everybody needs to have in the back of your mind, and this goes for whether you, if you're a young person, this is going to cover everything from if you're a young person, middle-aged person, or if you're a senior citizen. This affects every one of you, and this is what you need to start thinking. You need to start percolating in the back of your mind. Come what may. No matter what hype, no matter what false flag, no matter what atrocity propaganda they generate about Russia and China, do not let them draft you. Do not let them draft your kids. Do not let them draft your grandkids. I say that in all seriousness, and I've been pondering talking about this all week, because if you understand how war propaganda gets whipped up, coming out and speaking about this now is fine. But if they do get whipped up into a war frenzy, this is one of those things that could come back and bite me on the ass. But I think it's an important truth because it is literally a matter of life and death. Do not let them feed your kids into the war grinder. Be prepared. If you're a young person, let me tell you how this works, because you probably hadn't seen it before. This is how it works. They whip up something and then they give you all of this space. If you're in a rural area, I'm sorry. If you're in a rural area, unfortunately, the people there tend to get whipped up in this patriotard type of frenzy. And understand, this is the parish of the patriots. We're about real patriotism. I'm talking about patriotardism. You need to go die for America and fight for our freedoms. But what does gay anal in Taiwan really have to do with that? What does the banning of drag queen story hour in Russia, what does that have to do with my freedoms? What exactly freedoms are we talking about? You're not allowed to question that. They will wave flags around and tell you about how you are going to be a hero. And this is really disgusting in a society where young people have no purpose in life, where young men have nothing to strive for. What future do you have? But you can go join the military. You can be a hero. You can be a hero. You can go fight for Uncle Sam. You're going to be a hero. And even if you die, look, your whole town. Look, this guy from your town died, and he's in the army. And look, everybody lined up the fire trucks on each side and waved the flags and hung over. And old veterans stood there and gave a salute. And it was so hard. His life meant something. They will feed you this line of shit. Let me tell you, if you get whipped up and you get fed into the meat grinder in an unwinnable war, you're... It doesn't mean anything. It just means you're dead. If you're a parent of somebody that's of draftable age, you need to be thinking about everything you can do if and when the time comes to hide them, to take them to another country, to do whatever you got to do. Because once they're dead, they're gone. If you're a boomer, I know you're tired of all the boomer hating. Here's your chance to shine. Be prepared. If it means selling your RV or your nice house with the golf, you know, on the golf course in Florida, if you have those kind of assets. I realize not all boomers have those kinds of assets, but if you do, be prepared. This is your time. This is your time to sacrifice. As a generation, the boomers have a whole lot more wealth than the other generations. And I'm not boomer hating here. That's just a statistical fact. Be prepared to sacrifice. I mean that. Be prepared. If you got to sell everything you own to get your grandkids out of this country to keep them from being fed into a pointless meat grinder. Because let me tell you, your freaking RV doesn't mean anything when your grandkid's dead in a freaking box. Because this corrupt, wicked machine decided to feed them into a meat grinder. I don't care what politician goes up and salutes and looks somber for the TV camera. They do not give a shit. I think of that how I don't even remember who it was that died when Bill Clinton was president. If you're old enough to remember this, remember he went to this guy's funeral and, you know, he's walking. He's like laughing and joking. And then he looks up and sees the TV camera and just like that, he puts on, he's wiping a tear. They're all like that. They stand up there and look somber and give the salute. And maybe even give a little speech about how your son was a hero and died for our values. Our ever non-defined values. I don't give a shit. They get in the car with the tinted windows, and windows are tinted so you can't see their asses laughing in there about how stupid you are. Don't let them feed them to the meat grinder. Be prepared to do anything you can. Everybody has different levels of resources available. Maybe load your grandkids in the RV and just keep moving around the country where they can't find you. Make your way up to Canada. Something. I don't know what the situation looks like, but start thinking about it now. Every one of you, whether you're a young person yourself, be prepared. They're going to regale you with talks of patriotism. They'll whip up a gigantic, oh, it's a huge threat and they want to kill all of you. But don't get fed and don't let those that you love get fed into their meat grinder. Now, again, I don't know how, when, or maybe even if that will truly come to pass. What I'm looking, though, is at this situation. It's like, say you were in a small room, a relatively small room, and this small room is filled with extremely expensive and fragile antiques. Very, very valuable. Things that cannot be replaced. Now, maybe the big, ugly drunk next to you isn't intending to bust everything in the room, but he's being belligerent. And he's stumbling around and he keeps threatening to whip everybody's ass and he keeps swinging around wildly and everybody's like, don't get on the vase. Don't break this vase. That's the U.S. now. Going around, being drunk, belligerent, threatening everybody. At some point in time, they may wind up very well. If you were watching that situation play out, what would you be betting on? He's not going to hurt anything. He's got it all. He acts like that, but he doesn't intend to bust anything in the wind. Well, he may or he may not. But somebody that's acting like that, if you were laying odds, I'd be like, that somebody's going to break something here in a minute. You know he's going to break something here in a minute. Just because he's being so careless and so stupid. That's what the U.S. They may not be intending. They may think they can just get this up to the edge and go so far. But they're drunk. They're drunk on hubris. They're drunk on their own pride. They're just delusional. It's like they've gone mad. One of the things with this whole G7 and the Biden thing that was so disgusting is this talk, these reporters asking their pre-selected reporter pre-picked question about quote unquote, changing Putin's behavior. How arrogant is that? I'm sorry, I'm old enough to remember when the middle management of politicians were much more professional than what they are now. They can go around talking about fellow world leaders as though they were children. And you're trying to figure out how to discipline them. It's like, really, you watch press conference with Biden taking these pre-selected questions from pre-selected reporters. And they're talking about changing Putin's behavior. It's like you're watching Dr. Phil, or I like to call him Dr. Shill. It's like you're watching the Dr. Shill show and you've got these parents talking about They're 12-year-old and they just can't do anything with them. And they keep, this teenager's rebellion. Dr. Shill, what do I do? You got to change their behavior. This is where we're at. They're up there seriously talking, how can you change Putin's behavior? Biden makes a nonsensical statement like, I'm going to tell Putin, what I want him to know. And everybody applauds, slow clap, like that even makes any sense. Well, yeah, no shit. I would assume you're going to meet with the man. You're going to tell him whatever it is you want him to know. Might be kind of nice to know what that is, especially if it's going to affect all of the rest of us. Russia's belligerence and aggression towards their neighbors. Oh, really? Where are all the Russian military bases? Oh, they're all inside of Russia, but they're being belligerent as hell. Where are all the U.S. military bases? All over the world! Surrounding places like Russia! They're being belligerent, I tell you. It's just breathtaking. And I don't know. I mean, people get it, I guess. But it gets just repeated. And they act like this is such wisdom. Oh, this is such patriotism. So smart. So stupid. It's frustrating. For those of you who are my age or older, you know, you've been alive long enough to remember when you had an idea. You know, when back during the Cold War, when the Soviet Union was a thing and they talked about, you know, our freedoms. And you at least kind of had a general idea of what that meant because you had a certain sense of freedom. I mean, you could say things and it was okay. You actually kind of had you kind of had freedom of speech and you felt like you were pretty much left alone. You know, as long as you stayed within certain, I mean, there's always going to be boundaries on any society. But I mean, you had a certain sense that we did have like freedoms and like America did stand for something. And now you have this nonstop blabbering about our value. But what does any of it mean? Our democracy and our values. What freedom do we have? I get so tired of hearing go on and on about our freedoms. Which freedoms are those? I saw a story the other day. I read a story the other day in Florida. They painted a giant gay flag, you know, the rainbow flag thing. They painted it on the street and a guy did a burnout across the gay flag because it's on the street. They tracked the guy down. You know, well, you know, if you've ever been caught doing a burnout, you're going to get a ticket for that shit. They're throwing felony charges at the guy for doing a burnout on the street because it was where the gay flag parade, where the gay flag was painted on the street because of where he did the burnout. They're trying to throw felony charges at this guy. Felony charges for doing a burnout on the street. Tell me again about all of these freedoms we have. What exactly are, what are these freedoms you're going to be expected to go fight and defend? The freedom to have felony charges pressed against you for doing a burnout? The freedom for the feds to have set up a whole spectacle and a narrative on January 6th, and when you went to do a legitimate protest to exercise your right to political protest, and you're thrown in jail, you're in solitary confinement, you're being beaten by the guards, that's your freedom. Exactly what freedoms are we even talking about? Freedom to submit? That's really what they're saying. Freedom to submit to whatever we say you need to submit to today. I don't know how anybody doesn't look at this country and know that it's collapsing. The society is collapsing. It's imploding on itself in real time. I don't know how anybody could be in denial of that. I guess maybe there are people that are, but how do you even pull that off? Now, some people think it could be said. I don't think it could be saved. I see people say things like, you know, well, this is still the best government in the world, the best system in the world. We just need to reform it. This thing is dead, man. I don't know how else to put it. We're way beyond reforming this thing. It's ate through. It's like you got a house and every part of the structure has been completely rotted out by termites and you're just waiting for it to collapse on itself. It's so riddled with termite damage. And somebody comes along and says, oh, it'll buff out. I mean, you know, we just brace it up a little bit and it'll be good as new, but it's not. It's not. It's been completely corrupted. It's been eaten through and through by termites. Termites have eaten it through and through. The corruption is way beyond something you're going to patch up and fix. I think sometimes maybe these people are just like, you know, well, we can hold it together long enough for it to last my lifetime. But I don't even know about that. I mean, why would you want it to? You know, I mean, I get that people are afraid of the unknown, you know, but at some point in time, this shit show becomes so absurd and so ridiculous and so toxic and so deadly that, I mean, the sooner it ends, the better. The sooner it ends, the sooner maybe we can start building something else. Something. Something better than this. In this sense, maybe if they bungle off into a war they're going to lose with Russia and China, it might accelerate it. Well, it most certainly would accelerate that collapse. That might, in the big picture, be a good thing. But if your loved ones or you yourself are dead because of their stupid war, that doesn't really help you much, does it? It's not going to be much consolation if your child or grandchild gets blown up and killed during this folly. If you have the mindset that the U.S. would lose, and I think any logical way you look at it, the U.S. would lose a conflict such as this very, very badly, and I think in very, very short order, then the next question has to come, would the U.S. resort to nuclear weapons? Well, yes. I mean, I'm thinking Samson option here, carried out from a different platform. But you have to also understand they would probably start that route off. And this is just pure conjecture on my part to make it clear. They would probably start that off with detonating a nuke right here. If the U.S. resorted to using nuclear weapons, the first one they would detonate would be here in the U.S. Probably in a southern city, of course. They wouldn't do it in one of their enclaves. They would detonate a nuke and then say, oh, look, the evil Chinese, the evil Russians, they nuked America. Now we have no choice but to answer back. Then you enter that tit for tat. The U.S. finally getting a taste of what war in their own country would look like. I think of all the people over the years who've argued that, you know, it's just a great American thing. I'm glad they nuked them Japs at the end of World War II. All of a sudden, that doesn't seem so glorious when it's your skies getting lit up, when hundreds of thousands, if not millions of your own people are getting incinerated. Firebomb Dresden. Them damn Nazis deserve it until your town or your city is firebombed. All of a sudden, it isn't so fun. God, as a Christian believer, I do absolutely believe God's judgments against this nation, and he is going to destroy it. I don't know what that plays out. I'm not pretending to know what that plays out and looks like. I'm not going to get way off into that. It's not the Christian-specific segment yet. But I absolutely do believe that. This country is being destroyed as we speak. In short, this clown show is on the clock. I know we sit around and we look at this insanity, this clown world that we're living through, and it can be frustrating, and it is an attack on your mind. And one of the things I think is important that you can do, that all of us can do, is to continually try to protect our own sanity. We're seeing people do crazier and crazier shit, and people are literally losing their minds. One of the great positive things we do with this show is to kind of calm you down. Understand, it's not you. It's everybody else that's going crazy. It's the world around you that's going crazy. Keep yourself centered. You just stay centered. Stay grounded. You just got to get through this. Don't go nuts. Don't go off the deep end. Don't get overly frustrated. Just got to get through this to the other side. But the clown world is, understand, the clown world is on the clock. This is not sustainable. I said this last week. Do you imagine the trajectory we're on continuing for another 10 years? I mean, it's not. I mean, how does that saying go? That which cannot continue won't continue. That which isn't sustainable won't be sustained. I mean, it just makes sense. If the trajectory we are on with the woke culture and all this other nonsense, if it isn't sustainable, if we cannot continue accelerating down that path over the next 10 years, that means it's going to stop. It means this insanity is going to stop. If this trajectory of being belligerent towards everybody in the world cannot continue on, then it won't continue on. If this trajectory of infinity money cannot continue on, it won't continue on. Being in denial doesn't help. Understand it and position yourself the best you can. But it can't continue. The clown show, look, it's just frustrating for anybody to see this lunacy go on and on and on. The latest thing, you're supposed to be outraged, and this is canceled, and that's canceled, and you're not allowed to say this, and you're not, and this hero is now a villain, and this villain is now a hero, and we're going to put up statues for this guy and tear down the statue of this person, and it could get very frustrating, and you need to be locked down because there's a deadly virus, and we're going to take more of your freedom away and funnel more money up to the multi-billionaires, to the oligarchy, and it's all okay. It's your American duty. And on, it's not, they're up against the clock, not you. It is they who are up against the clock. It cannot continue, and it won't. I can say that with absolute confidence. It can't continue. It can go on for a while. I'm not saying it's going to stop today, but it can't continue, and it won't continue. It is going to come to an end. In the meantime, you got to protect your own sanity. You got to position yourself and those you care about as best as you can to weather it out. Because once it does come to an end and it implodes on itself in spectacular fashion, then it's going to be time to have a serious discussion about what do we build next? What do we do next? Gone will be the platitudes about my democracy and our values and all this empty marketing bullshit. Gone will be the illusion that you can reform this utterly corrupt system. That will be out the window because it'll be dead. Everybody will be faced with that reality, but you got to be one of the ones that drags themselves out of the smoldering rubble. If you lose your mind and go off the deep end, you won't be one of those. You see, the casualties aren't just from weapons, aren't just from if a nuke gets dropped on your city, aren't just from if you get cornered up by a mob. It is, the casualties can start with your own mind, and that's what they're targeting. If you lose your mind and lose your shit and go off the deep end, then you won't be one of the survivors. Got to protect yourself, you got to protect those around you, and you've got to be one of the survivors. We'll wrap up on that note, get into the Christian-specific segment for this week. So you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. It's time for this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. So as we get settled in this week, I thought we'd visit a little bit about the end times. You can't help but feel like these are the end times. And they are. You have to understand that the end times basically started from the time Christ was crucified, resurrected, and ascended to the kingdom of God to now. I mean, it's a long, this gets back to that whole time versus eternity, because, you know, God is doing this thing, so time really isn't applicable. So from the time Christ ascended to the right hand of God to now is the end times. It's just a draw. It wasn't going to be a 3-day deal. It's this long, drawn-out process from our perspective, because we're stuck in this realm of time. But from the eternal point of view, it's just it's all happening more or less at once. But I wanted to talk about the end times in the sense of, does that give you a feeling of, you know, dread? We know some of the really scary prophecies, for instance, like in Revelation and such. And also, I mean, we can look at the words Jesus himself spoke. If you look in Luke 12, verse 2, Jesus says, "For there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." Now, you read something like that, and you can't help but feel like, you know, this is once again a case of the hammer is waiting to drop on you. You know, every little thing you've done is going to be revealed. You're going to have all your dirty laundry aired. So you better try not to have any more dirty laundry than you can possibly manage, because you don't want everybody knowing all the dirty little secrets you have, or all the sins you've committed, and things such as that. And if you look at these things in a combination, you know, talking of the end times and everything's going to be revealed and that which has been whispered, everybody's going to know about, you get this uneasy feeling. And everybody talks, if you talk about the end times, when conversations steer towards the end time, you can't help but to have this feeling of gloom come over. And as we talk about that, you probably even now, you're thinking, man, doom and gloom, it's the end times. But I'm going to tell you, we're looking at that all wrong. We're looking at this, it's a time of celebration. Because whose end is it? It marks an end of Satan getting to have his way, his time of being loosed on the earth. The end time signifies that that's enough of that and God's going to rein him in. He's had his time to run about, cause people to be sifted and go to destruction. Because even in his rebellion, God's will is so great. Even in Satan's rebellion, God's will is carried out. Because people are tempted and people have to make the choice. That's why I always say, you know, the devil doesn't make you do anything. Ultimately, it comes down to a choice. It's always about a choice. So the end time signifies that he is wrapping these things up. And I thought we'd talk a little bit about what that looks like, about wrapping these things up and why these things aren't something to be doom and gloom about, but actually something to be kind of actually encouraged, because we know that because Christ was crucified, that victory is ours. We say that, Christian believers say that. That's, you know, it's victory in Jesus. You know, we got victory. No, I'm not going to start singing. Don't panic. But we do know that we have victory in Jesus. But what does that look like? And as the victory draws near, why should we feel like worried and anxious about that? Now, we quoted Luke 12, verses 2 and 3, talking about everything's going to be revealed. The things you've whispered are going to be proclaimed like from a loudspeaker. But let's back that up and read verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. You see, when we talk about all is going to be revealed and what's whispered in the closets will be proclaimed from the rooftops and such, I mean, really, how can I put this? Who gives a shit about your dirty laundry? I mean, because I don't. Who cares about what petty sins you've committed or what you have done in your life? Because there's nobody without sin. Nobody hasn't screwed up. Nobody hasn't done some really shitty things at some point or another. Who really cares about that? I mean, so we're talking about on a more grander scale. In other words, when you read this, you need to think about the big lies that we've been told. Think about these things, these big lies that everybody, this is like a spell that everybody's been under for generations of these big lies, corruption, these bribes that were taken. Think about it this way. We will know how cheaply we were sold out by those who came before us, who were supposed to be stewards of the nation, who were supposed to be stewards of the land and stewards of generations to come, to set a foundation for generations to come. And yet they sold the people down the river. Generations and generations of people, they sold them down the river. We'll know how cheaply that was done and for what reasons. For what petty blackmail made them go along. Why did they set up the Federal Reserve and hand all of that over to the bankers? We'll actually know that. The whole notion that, were there really $6 quadrillion? Were there really fake shower room gas chambers and, with wooden doors? I mean, these frustrating things, that people don't want to hear, and it's a big lie that people have bought into over the years, that will finally be revealed. Finally, the truth will be shown, and it won't be up for debate. It won't be up for argument. Seriously, for those that are into historical revisionism, which is essentially looking towards, looking into and finding the truth versus the narrative that is placed in so many history books, this is like the thing to look forward to, because finally you'll know the actual truth. Because we know that, like, for instance, in the case of wars, history is written by the victors. The opponents who were defeated are always the most horrible villain that ever existed. And those that oppose them are virtuous heroes. But people are people. And they're going to land somewhere else on that spectrum. There are no ultra virtuous heroes in this world. Nor are there any absolute total villains. you know, people are going to wind up on one side or the other scale, and everybody will actually know that. They'll actually know the true motivations. You know, what did this president know? Why did they send us off into war, this particular war? Did they do it out of spite, malice? Was there an actual positive end they had in mind and things got out of control? People say, remember the USS Liberty. People will actually remember the Liberty and whether or not that was an accident or not, because all will be known. You say, I think of this as when you read about it being proclaimed from the rooftops, the big lie actually finally being disposed of, stripped away. Everything will be known. And yet we think of the end times and everybody gets all anxious, like, oh, God wants to air my dirty laundry. Nobody gives a shit. I mean, seriously. Well, because everybody, you get this mindset and you run into other people and, you know, you look at them and you think, man, that person's got it made. And you talk to them and it's like, golly, that person is upright. He's got his shit together. He's doing his thing. There are no people that absolutely have their act together. Everybody is flawed on one level or another. Everybody's got their own crap they're dealing with. You should get this out of your mind, like everybody else has their act together better than I do. I'm the one struggling here. I'm the one trying to walk the path of righteousness. No, you're not. Everybody else is trying. Well, most everybody else is trying to figure. Some people just plunge themselves off into debauchery. They're like, they're not trying to tread water. They're just, I'll drown myself. And they jump off into it and just float to the bottom and just wait for it to end. But most everybody else is trying to tread water, the same as you. Everybody else is trying to figure this thing out. Everybody else is trying to find the way to be the best person they can. Well, not again, not everybody else, but as a fellow Christian believer, let's put it that way. Your fellow Christian believers, they're all trying to get it together too. If you go to a regular physical church and you have congregation members you meet up with and shake hands, and you might be thinking, man, he's, you know, I wish I could be like Joe. I know Joe's got it together better than I do, but he probably doesn't. And if he does, he's probably been working at it longer than you have. This idea that God cares about your dirty laundry and that's what this is about, it isn't. Don't get all doom and gloomy. The end times spells the end times for Satan. It's not the end times for you. It's not the end times for the Christian believers. It's the end time of putting up with this bullshit. It's the end time for Satan getting his free run in the world. It's the end times of the big lie. No more will the people be deceived. No more will you have to sit there and have these arguments on and on and on about what really happened in the past or what's really going on today. We're being inundated with big lies. Now, there's so many now, you can't even point to them all. We're just big lie after big lie after big lie. This country is the most evil oppressor of the democracy and the human rights. And we know it's a big lie. This is the deadliest virus ever, and everybody's dropping dead like flies. Even if you don't see anybody dropping dead like flies, they are dropping dead like flies, and you need to put a mask on and get vaxxed and triple vaxxed and whatever, because it's so deadly. It seems like the big lies are getting stupider over the years, but I think they're just becoming more and more intense because you think of the other big lies, and I mean, come on. It's, you know, pedal-powered skull-smashing machines. I mean, come on now. Is absolutely, completely the wrong perspective to have that, oh my gosh, everything's going to be known. What's that going to look like for me? Don't be so self-centered. The big lies will finally be exposed. This also falls in line with what we should be doing. Because as Christian believers, we're supposed to be trying our best in what capacity we have to fall in and contribute to the work of Jesus. I mean, that is our commission, every one of us. Now, we know that Satan is the father of lies, and we see this satanic world, and as we've talked about before, it's satanic because it's flooded with lies, bigger and bigger lies stacked one on top of the other. So as we fall in and do the work of Jesus, we promote the truth. We speak the truth in this sea of lies. I've said it so many times before. I hate the ignorance. I'll put it generously. The ignorance of those Christians who sit around and basically they're waiting for a rapture. They're waiting for Jesus to show up and fix it for them. The end times to them means they're going to get a rapture. They get an exit ticket out of here, and they wait for Jesus to show up and fix everything for them. But our commission as Christian believers is to be doing the work of Christ, to do what he did, to do what we know he's doing, to do what we know he's going to continue to do. Should he show up and find us lazing about? Imagine the work of the boss at a work site showing up and all the workers are lazing around, not doing anything. And he's like, what are y'all doing? Why are y'all not doing it? How come y'all aren't doing any work? Well, we're waiting for you to get here. You're going to do it. You're the expert. You can't be just sitting around. We are commissioned from the establishment of the early church. It's made very clear we are commissioned. Our commission as Christian believers are to fall in and as best as we can do the work of Jesus, contribute to the work of Jesus. The church is referred to as the body of Christ. Well, if Christ is doing it, then the body's got to be doing something. Doesn't that make sense? If we say, oh, well, Jesus is going to do that. But if the church is the body of Christ, then the body's got to be doing something. If you're, I don't know, building a deck behind your house, how are you going to do that if your body isn't moving around, isn't actually doing some things? Your body's just going to sit there. I'm just going to lay here. If you think of somebody who's sadly crippled, you know, they're a quadriplegic. They can't move their arms or legs. Well, they ain't going to build no deck because their body won't work. Their body will not work. Their body just lays there. Even if the head commands, says, come on, arms, come on, legs. I'm tired of just let's go. Let's go. But it just lays there. The body won't listen. The body won't heed the commands of the brain. The body just lays there, limp, and does nothing. If the church is the body of Christ, then you're supposed to be doing the things of Christ. That's how Christ is getting things done. But so much of the church today, they're just laying there. Like the body of a quadriplegic. Jesus has already given the commands. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to fall in, be doing the things I'm doing.
Who is the need?
Well, truth. Start with that. Start with following the truth. Start with rejecting the lies. Stop with just going along with all the other freaking morons that are just going over the side of the cliff because that's what I was told. Even though it's a lie to my face, I'm going to go along with. Stop doing that. Embrace the truth. Reject the falsehood. Follow, pursue that which is good, reject that which is evil, hate that which is evil. Oh, because I'm not supposed to hate. Hate that which is evil. Reject the wickedness, pursue that which is good.
I just lay here like the body of a quadriplegic. That's the church today. That's a modern cut church right there. Just laying there. Why aren't you moving, body? I'm waiting for the rapture.
You're supposed to be doing something. It's the body of Christ. Christ has already given the command. He's given you your commission. This is what you're supposed to do. In telling you, the pinky finger, you've got to build the whole deck yourself, pinky finger. Well, of course, pinky finger can't do that. The body has to work together. Don't think this means that you've got to take it all on yourself. That's not what it means. Your pinky can't build a deck by itself, but it can help hold the hammer. The body's got to be moving. Christ gives the command. He's given you the commission. You know what you're supposed to do as a Christian believer. You got an idea of how you're supposed to be living here in clown world. In a way, clown world makes it easier, don't you think? If this was however many years ago when things weren't so insanely clownish, it would probably be easier to kind of, you know, maybe forget about these things and move astray. Maybe that's a gift. Maybe the clownishness is actually a gift because now you can't deny it. Now you can't just wander about and get all caught up and, hey, everything's pretty good. Everything's pretty good. I don't know. As things get more and more insane, you can't help but to be prodded into understanding this. I guess I should say there's a more clear black and white line being drawn here. So it's easier for you now. It's easier for you to see, what am I supposed to be doing? Well, let's see. I got a big bucket of lies here, or I could pursue the truth. The body and the mind have to work together.
If you didn't have a brain, if you were like brain dead, but your body was alive, you know, you hear those sad stories about people and they get in an accident, they have a really bad stroke or something such as that. And, you know, the family's debating whether to pull the plug because their body is technically alive, but the brain isn't giving any instructions. Well, you say this person has a perfectly functioning body, but their brain dead. Are they going to be able to accomplish it? Well, no, because they have no one to give the commands. And yet you will have those, primarily atheist Bergs, who will say we need to reject the brain. We need to reject the mind. We need to reject that which gives the command, which is the central organizing authority, which gives a direction, the directions for the body. Because we'll all be better off if all the appendages of the body just try to go off, just individually go off and do their own thing. But that's impossible. Without the mind, without the central commanding figure, without the directives being given, the body is as good as dead. The body has no direction. The body has no meaning. That body has no ability to accomplish anything if you reject the mind. There are diseases and people who get stricken with diseases and they have like, you know, the commands from the brain head to the body and they get all scrambled up and arms will be flailing over here and these things are sad. I'm in no way like making light of that. It's a very sad condition. But the point is you have to have the mind has to be able to give a clear signal to the appendages. The appendages have to receive that signal and carry them out. Everything has to work like that. If the body is paralyzed and refuses to do anything, the mind can give all of the commands at once, but nothing's going to happen. Likewise, if the body were to reject the mind, if the mind were turned away from just shut those nerve endings off, then the body will become paralyzed or just start randomly going off in weird directions, doing weird things. The two have to work together. So as we wrap up here, the point of all of this is the end times isn't something that when people talk about the end times, understand it's a lot longer time than like, oh, well, there's going to be like, you know, the 6 months, things get really shitty. I mean, it's a long drawn out process from the establishment of the early church to now, or the end times is a long drawn out thing. Because again, we're stuck in time, but for God, it's all happening pretty much all at once. But it's not something to be afraid of. I mean, it's something to be aware of the tumultuousness, the nature of the world around us, to be cautious, to understand. But it's not the end times for us. It's the end times for Satan. The big lies will finally be stripped away. There will be no more deceiving the people. Everything's going to be known. All those who sold us out over the years, over the centuries, over the generations, all that's going to be known. There will be no deception. It's all going to be shown. It's all going to be shown for what it is. We just simply have to carry out what we're supposed to be doing. We don't have to accomplish it. None of us are more than a finger, maybe a fingernail. We have to carry out our own part of it. We have to carry out this commission that the Lord has given us. And collectively, we'll move forward. Collectively, we'll build that deck, so as to speak. We'll do the work. We'll accomplish the works of the Lord. This is why you have to have this attitude of humility. Because if you think too much of yourself, you're going to put too much on yourself. Well, it's my job to fix all of this. It's my job. The Lord wants me to fix this screwed up world and to get everybody to understand these. You have to have a humble mindset. Otherwise, you're going to go crazy. You're going to be one of those people. You got to have a humble mindset. And so you got to do your part. But God doesn't expect you to fix it all. As I said before, the pinky finger isn't going to be able to build the whole deck. But I mean, you got to do something. You got to follow the commission. You got to do what you can. You got to do the work that the Lord has put before you. And he won't give you more than you're supposed to, but you do need to do what you can do. In other words, just keep doing your part, keep moving forward, and have faith. Have faith. The Lord
knows what he's doing. We are wrap up on that note. Thank you once again for joining us this week. Hopefully you got something out of the show in its entirety. Hopefully you got something out of it. I really do appreciate those who financially support the show. It is always very much appreciated. And I do appreciate all of you for stopping by for this week's installment of the show. And of course, as always, we'll be back next week right here on Radio Albion for the Parish of the Patriots.